This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Every step.
Yeah. Way. Get it, Mavis. It's a little Mavis Staples.
I found grace.
That's right. Let that breathe a little bit, Joe. If I
lead, let simmer a little bit.
It's the kind of song that a male with an overactive libido would want to get down to.
10 seconds in.
Welcome to the Black Rose After Buzz After Show. It's kind of an inside joke.
Very inside.
That's the sounds of Mavis Staples. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm here as always with my main man, Nando Velasquez. What's
Hello, up? Everybody.
How you doing?
What's up?
And I'm also joined by the lovely Julia Carely.
Hi, everybody. Hi, gentlemen.
And I'm also joined by the man, Joe Sanfilippo.
Oh, did you see the music? Did you hear the music dip right there?
Yeah!
They gave you a little respect. They gave you a little respect.
That was nice. Mavis, I appreciate you. again, welcome to Blacklist After Buzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. Thank you for joining us on iTunes and YouTube and SoundCloud and all the ways you're finding us. We appreciate you. And don't forget our hashtag, ABTV Blacklist.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
There it is.
Boom. I got something right.
Yeah.
I shaved. That happened.
An excellent
you
job.
You look like a mere child.
And I'm next, right?
I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
next.
I'm next. I guess I'm next. I might shave next.
Joe,
week. Let me know.
Maybe. No, this is maintained. I keep this at douche level, and it yes. just it absolutely
you said,
stays
you set the
way.
Thing to douche.
You set it to douche, and you trim.
That's yeah, you can't. You don't have to apologize for anything. People
no,
like that. Yeah.
Forget
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can just get away with everything.
Someone called me 50 Shades of Greybeard.
So. Ooh, that's rough.
So I shaved.
That's funny,
Mr. Gray.
I don't know why that's funny.
But it was a bit.
Yeah. I have a very particular sense.
And
of
he was.
So the Blacklist.
I got nothing. Back to the Blacklist
yes.
show. episode happened today.
Yeah, it was a show. Yeah,
an episode
show.
Happened tonight.
Ruslan Denisov. I'm a bad Russian.
Denisov. I wrote it phonetically, so we Ruslan
Denisov.
Denisov. Denisov. Number 67. Is our Blacklist show. Ruslan Denisov.
The knees off.
I will take a picture and I'll tweet that.
Thinking of somebody with
Ruslan.
Their knees off.
Knees off.
You yes. shouldn't tweet that. I want people to think we have a much more high level of technology and literacy in here.
Okay.
Just like, okay.
We right. wanted to make sure we said it right. We wanted to make sure we said it right.
Uzbekistan is spelled perfectly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
red none of us perfectly. Are getting through the spelling bee.
We're well into the back half of this season. Yes. We had a Cracker Jack opening from in the Super Bowl episode. We had kind of a dip down, but also an interesting conclusion to the
Luther Braxton
episode.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of back in it with Ruslan. We're kind of back into our normal sort of semi-procedural, semi-serialized Blacklist show. And this one kind of, it happened. We had some mixed reviews in while we're watching this. Some of us didn't like it at all.
I think some of us were in a bad mood watching the show.
I actually kind of liked it.
I liked it too.
I'll defend it. But let's start with you, Flippo. What'd you think of it?
I didn't think it was bad, but I did. Any show.
You sound thrilled.
Anytime they give Lizzie a lot more to do, it kind of the pace takes a dip, and then it seems like they kind of rely a lot more on Red to kind of bring it back, uh-huh. and like the whole monologue about the Malonga the malanga and the tango and the dance and the you know, and it just it puts such it puts so much more of a burden on those moments, because the stuff that's between Lizzie and Wrestler is so, it just feels so weak to me,
right?
You know, and so I, you know, but overall it wasn't bad. It just wasn't, you know. After the last couple of weeks, it was nice. It was nice. There was a good. The last two episodes, I thought, were really solid and really good flow. And this one, kind of like, a little sandy.
Okay, I mean, so all these people that are tuning into the blacklist that came from the Super Bowl, do you feel like that this sort of lives up to the blacklist?
No, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be a. It's not bad for them. It's just it's a dance we've all kind of seen before.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you'll pardon the dance pun, but I did like where they went politically. I thought that was neat, and I think there's stuff we should talk about later on about that, because I really thought that it was timely and okay. and a little bit political.
Take it easy, PC liberal comments.
I know it's going to get bad.
Julia, calm your libido, will you?
Yeah, take my libido, roll it up, and put it away.
What did you think, Jules?
Okay, obviously it wasn't my favorite episode.
Sure.
I'm sure Nando was talking about me when you said I was in a bad mood. No.
I said it during the show. I was like, I think you were...
I actually thought it was kind of... Compared to other episodes, I found it to be a little bit of a sleeper episode. A little bit boring compared to some of the others. A little snoozy,
right.
Personally. And I mean, even Red, my favorite thing ever, couldn't save it with that tango monologue of his.
That tango monologue was
it was
awful.
I mean, he always saves it for me, but that time there was just it was just.
I mean, he made up with
grasping
it.
Grasping at straws.
He made up for it later
with his bed.
He made up for it later.
The spectrum of his bed accommodates the spectrum of wide behavior.
And then I never really love it when we're back on the spectrum of Lizzie, I don't trust you, Red. You know, we're in that place right now. I'm sure by the next episode or two, we'll back to them collaborating again, and then I'll like it a little bit more. But I just never like it when they're.
Yeah,
we all
agree
like that
the show's at its worst. For some reason, they think, you know, that this is where that is best. The show's at its worst when Lizzie is not trusting Red, and she's doing her whole, like, you know, I'm only here to blah, blah, all that. Like, that's just, it's awful.
But I do agree with you. Politically, I found it to be extremely interesting, and I'm glad that we're touching on these subjects, and that sparked my interest, sadly, a little bit more than the actual overarching story.
Right. Nando, what'd you think?
So, well, first of all, you were just pissed off because you had someplace else to be today, because we were trying to switch the time.
I'm throwing you under the bus.
Let's air my dirty laundry.
I'm just saying.
Did he just throw you under the bus?
I did throw you under the bus.
What else is new?
Put it in reverse. Should knight that thing. Back over. Let's just...
Win with you, Nando.
No, well, you know what? Sometimes I watch an episode and I for some reason, I'm just in a bad mood when I come in, and it affects. When you're 5 minutes in going, I hate this episode, I'm thinking it's more than just the 5 minutes that you're pissed off about. That's all. Okay, now
she's going to stab me.
Now
there's
she's
no question.
Stab me.
So what did you think of the episode,
Nando?
I liked the episode. I actually like the episode. There's a lot in this episode if you really pay attention. Yeah, I agree with all the points that you guys have said, but at the same time, I really like that they're bringing back the FBI investigation actually to the Harbor Master, because I think that's a loose end that needs to be tied up.
That's very true.
I think that's really, really good. I love, you know, something from season one that was said. Oh boy, she's still steaming. Something from season one that was still said that, that Red was talking about the terrorists, you know, these days the terrorists are more corporate. So this kind of brought it all back to corporations. And
which is where
really
they started.
About, which
You're
is where they started.
Correct.
So I really feel like they're bringing this full circle, and I wouldn't be surprised if this oil company had something to do with the evil corporation.
Oh.
That's a prediction already. Right. But I wouldn't be surprised about that. But I love that. And also just to hit your point about, and all your points about, you know, I hate the cat and mouse with Lizzie. I hate it when Lizzie hates Red, and she's like, I'm not talking to you. But Red's at his best when he's trying to work around that.
Sure.
At the same time. Lizzie's at her worst.
Lizzie, I'll let you do your thing.
Lizzie's at her worst, but Red's at his best when he's trying to weave his way back in.
Sure, I agree.
Yeah.
I liked this episode a lot, actually. I did. It's kind of definitely a departure from the action-packed episodes we normally get. It's okay, Jules. That's it. It'll be,
what?
It'll be over. I thought... You look like you're still upset at Mando.
Go on.
Okay. Or maybe it's me.
He hit her with a bus.
It's No, it's sort of a departure from these action-packed episodes we've had lately. And when, Blacklist is sometimes, you know, at its best, too, when it's this action-packed sort of Joe Carnahan thing.
Yeah.
But it can also be this other thing, which is this sort of, like, you know, political, you know, interagency kind of back and forth, political intrigue, Red kind of international spy thing. It has that Tinker Tailor soldier spy vibe. And I think that that was very cool. I call this like the sort of the Aaron Brockovich episode, though. It's very much like, you know, the big corporation and, you know, and Red was like Aaron Brockovich trying to do the thing. But
the water
like,
supply.
The water supply, you know, I mean, that was sort of, Bruce Lan was Aaron Brockovich in this case. But I think that whole storyline of the corporate, the big evil corporation, and then the villain, the mercenary, turning kind of good to fight the corporation is kind of cool. Then Red doing a double blind and negotiating on one side with the FBI on the other, the CIA versus the FBI. And then at the end, when all the dust settles, it was really all about Red making some money. He's, you know, he's getting his pockets lined for another corporation.
Yeah, of course.
So it's a weird, it's a, just a really
just
good
when you
snapshot.
Thought they were all doing all so many good things in the world.
And there were good things being done, and Red kind of summed up that last sentence. But I guess what I like about this is it completely encapsulates what Red is about, which is the complexity of the situation. Yes, in one hand, Red is here to stop the bad guy, but he works with this bad guy. On the other hand, the corporation's evil, but he's going to bring another corporation because he wants the money too, and then he's going to come around.
That's
and,
what,
you know.
There's no bad guys, there's no good guys, there's just players.
It's all about the end game. I get that. I like that.
No sides, only players.
Only players. And that's
the whole episode.
And that's just true in life. I mean, that's just how this all works.
Right. It's I love that illustrated because we love so much to sort of make sides and say this guy, you know. One thing we didn't touch on is a couple episodes ago, Red was very much said a couple times about to Lizzie about your government. He's like, your government didn't do this, your government didn't do that. I'm like, that's Red's government, but Red is very much not operating from the standpoint that the United States government is his government. He's you know, he's player. Like, he's not on any side. I think that this episode really sort of encapsulated all of that. I do, like I said, I do really like this, what's brewing. It's kind of weird and cheesy, but I do like the idea of this FBI versus CIA kind of thing. You know, the two agencies sort of like at each other. One's hiding Red and working with Red. The other one's trying to take Red down. You know, Cooper barking, going in the office and barking at the guy was kind of cool. I liked all that stuff. I really liked it a lot. I said this was a good episode. I was into it.
One thing that confuses me though, just Ruslan ends up being a good guy, like we said, but he's on the blacklist. He's number 67. So. It just makes me wonder still, you know, we haven't really talked about the numbers or the importance or anything, but again, it just confuses me a little bit about this guy ended up being kind of like a hero of the people, and Red pretty much put him there in that point and said, you might go to jail for a little bit, but you're going to come out better. And it's almost like Red positioned him to a better place.
Yeah.
Like for whatever his end game is in regards to that region.
I mean, the guy,
which is a little out of character for what Red usually does with his blacklisters and whatever the list is or what how it's compromised. It's the end game for each episode is to get them out of Red's way in
that's
the
what
end.
You think, yeah.
But this time he was really building him up a little bit and, you know, setting him up to potentially be a leader.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting because he's not, you know, Ruslan Danizov. he's not a good guy. Like we saw him doing some really bad things in that montage where he's like, your company wouldn't pay enough. Bam.
Yeah.
You know, and he's, but you know, it's sort of like he gets a sort of second chance, which is kind of cool. I mean, I thought, you know,
murdering people in cold blood left and right, but he could be a hero.
Yeah.
But isn't that the whole idea though? Isn't it like, you know, it's all perceived threat versus actual threat. I mean, who has done more damage, right? He's killed four people conclusively, right?
Sure.
And he's gotten 12 killed that were his guys. But that we know that the oil companies killed hundreds, if not thousands, with the cancer.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. We always punish according to perceived threat, and we see somebody with a gun is much more dangerous than someone with a pen and paper who's very comfortable leaving benzene to leak. And
so you think every time that Ruslan.
Ruslan. Ruslan
has kidnapped this high-powered CEO of a major corporation. It was for the better of his people and his country every single time.
No, of course not. Of course not. But again, player. Not right, not wrong. Just players.
Yeah. I think the episode, there's intent, there's execution, right? So I think that the episode really, they sat down and really sort of struggled, presented some big themes and some big ideas, and again with the whole thing of there are no sides, only players, and the corporations, and this, and the Uzbekistan, it was the whole thing. I think the execution probably was a little wonky. It's hard to cram that into 43 minutes of network television, but within the
Did
framework.
Did you feel that there was some exposition this episode?
Be from me. There was a lot of exposition.
We had to rewind it a few times.
Yeah. Within the framework of a Blacklist episode as well.
Yeah.
You know, within that very specific constraint, you know, framework of like, this is a Blacklist or we have to do this and da da da. But I think they did a pretty decent job of it. I didn't like, we talked about starting, I didn't like the Negotiation Tango montage. I think I wrote Negotiation Tango montage was BS. It was just, you know, felt fillery and silly.
I usually just love his monologuing.
This is the first time.
I have never had a disappointing monologue from Red.
That's the first time I felt the I felt one of those monologues sort of like standing back and looking at itself and being like, you know, and the way it's cut, like it's cut back and forth to his voice and the music and then, you know, enough. So, and then the Lizzie stuff. I really just don't want to just, you know, bash Megan, Megan Boone, you know, all day long, but like, I mean, you know, we have our troubles with Megan Boone and God love her or the Lizzie character, the way she's playing Lizzie, but, I'm not buying it. But let's get into the episode, break it down a little bit. So the episode opens with Lizzie trying to figure out what the fulcrum is. She's enlisted Aram, our sweet Aram, to help him decode this thing, and she's sort of like and the only guy she can trust, and so she's doing that. That's kind of a storyline that's going off and doing its own thing. We see what happens in a very cool opening with them storming the church and getting the priest and find out he's a CIA guy.
I did not know that was a law, by the way, or I guess a
is
legal.
That a real what? Joke? Dude, is that a law?
I don't know how that kind of stuff works. I have no idea. I don't know how much of it is, we're talking
about the idea that you can't use the church or any members
leader.
Of the church as any kind of military
spy. As a spy.
Right.
You can't use that as cover. I have no idea. I don't know where executive orders and actual laws begin, end.
International law.
Well, and I don't know to what extent we accept international law. I know that we're not big fans of it.
You know, UN stuff, NATO stuff.
We like the UN and we like NATO when it's serving our purposes. But when they disagree with us, we're not big fans. We're like, we don't care.
Well, Samar made some comment in the show later on about like that doesn't work in our country.
So I mean, that's the kind of thing. We're not supposed to assassinate heads of state. That's supposed to be a deal that we don't do.
Yeah.
We tried to blow up what's his name, Fidel Castro, on any number of occasions in Cuba. And the only reason we didn't get him is we didn't get him.
In the interview, you know, Seth Rogen tried to get Kim Jong.
We're going to talk about honeypotting.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. And like I said, man, there are 17 intelligence agencies. We will have no clue in the world what is legit, what is not legit. They're not going to tell us anything. We're the biggest superpower the world has ever seen. There's no way in hell that anybody is adhering to any set of rules at any given time, 100%. There's no way.
I did like, I thought the opening was very, very well executed, that sort of storming the church and having him say, you know, the monologue, play, you know, talk to your burning bush. You know, put the thing down, and he's like, this is Agent, you know, we have a problem.
Agent Burke.
I love Agent Burke and that thing. So, but anyway, but this is where I really love the way, and I don't, you know, again, suspension of disbelief, how they figured out to make this FBI task list, this localized, you know, local FBI government, you know, federal, we handle stuff on American soil only, but yet their asset is the international playboy, super criminal, slash informant Red Reddington. So there's all they find all these interesting ways for the FBI to be all over the world, like the CIA. So here again is another thing where, you know, they come in and a CIA agent is captured. Red has information. So guess what? Lizzie and Wrestler are off to Uzbekistan.
Right. But what, you know, we got to keep in mind though.
How does that happen again?
Well, that was only because the CIA did not acknowledge him.
Right.
So if the CIA had acknowledged him, the CIA could have done its own thing.
Which I did like that exchange.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
But did you buy that, Jules? I know I just love how just Lizzie and Wrestler are like, well, let's see, the whole FBI.
Always Lizzie and Wrestler. Always. They are transcontinental.
Yeah.
They will fly anywhere, anytime, be there in 10 minutes. Don't you worry about it. I'll take care of this.
All of Quantico, Virginia.
FBI's here for you.
All of Quantico, Virginia. All the entire FBI. The most dangerous mission, let's call Lizzie and Wrestler.
Because they're always so successful.
And only those two.
Who else is there?
Put them on a plane.
And then again, for the second time, I think this season, they land in another country, and immediately they give up their firearms. It's like, they'll get taken custody now.
Right.
In 2 seconds, they'll get taken custody. Just jump in the elevator.
Absolutely.
I give the show full credit for figuring out ways to get... the FBI involved in international intrigue, and to get specifically the entire FBI, all of specifically getting Lizzie and Wrestler involved in international stuff.
Because obviously they've proven themselves as the top two FBI agents in the entire country.
So Lizzie, so off to Uzbekistan. She puts on the beanie.
Let me put on my beanie.
She means
fly to Uzbekistan.
They should have had a nice little Indiana Jones montage, a little plane going over and everything.
When the beanie comes on, shit's jumping off. I'm telling you right now.
Doesn't mess around.
Not messing around.
That's how we knew it was cold outside.
She puts in a beanie. They go to the thing.
Because in Russia, it's cold.
Uzbekistan is very cold. I did again.
You know, for a couple of guys who love the episode, you're talking a lot of trash.
You can do both because even they get the point. I did like the bit. We know where wrestlers like that guy and he's in the Hugo Boss suit and this guy's stealing us and da da da. And I liked all that stuff. I mean, you know, it's a little whatever, but I like the sort of it made me believe wrestler is capable of going to Uzbekistan and handling some stuff.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
He's got Beanie to his left.
Beanie to the left of me, corporate to my right. Here I am.
So they
the little Steelers wheel. Why not? I don't know.
They're off, and we see they go into the elevator, which none of us saw that coming. When they went after the guns were taken, they go in the elevator, and then it's the old false panel. False wall in the elevator trick.
The old false wall in the elevator trick.
Everybody knows about the false
wall.
Why, I remember in 47.
It's the Truman Show.
I'm no structural engineer.
Mm-mm. But no, that's most certainly true.
I don't know. The elevators, like if the elevator, you press the button and then if there's a backpack, like how do they get it? Are they in the shaft?
You think that it's only going to be on the ground floor?
There must be two walls. And they pull the first wall away, and then the second wall. But if you don't pull that first wall away, then the second wall will stay stationary.
But you got to figure that's only going to be good on the first floor. You can't do that in between floors because then people will fall to their deaths.
It
seems reasonable. Two walls.
No, but there's not two walls because elevator is a cage. You're in the thing.
Oh boy!
If you're on the ground, then you open the thing.
Yes, it makes perfect sense to me. It's like the front door, like in a hospital.
I just believe this part, guys.
I love Star Trek. I can see how this could work, guys.
And they have transporters, so I'm good with it.
Okay,
but if let's just say there's six elevator banks. How do you know which one they're going to go into?
It's a hotel in Uzbekistan.
There was one elevator shaft.
They're not at Caesar's Palace. Okay, they're not at the Wynn. They're at the Uzbek Hilton.
Oh, my God.
The Uzbek Hilton?
They're not at Caesar's.
Okay, fair enough.
I like that that's the go-to.
Apologies for all our listeners in Uzbekistan.
Yes.
I'm sure there are multiple elevators, guys.
Right, I'm sure the Uzbek Hilton is
laugh
beautiful.
At us.
Yes. Okay, so they get captured. I did like that bit. That none of us saw that coming, because why would they have a panel elevator?
Yeah.
But none of us saw it coming. The bag, they're taken away. They get to see our man Ruslan firsthand, and then the negotiation starts. I do like this idea of I'm this badass guy, and I'm here to sort of negotiate. He's the leader of the SRU, which is roughly translated as the Supreme Republic of a Free Uzbekistan.
Free,
is that what that?
Independent, and righteous.
Republic, oh. Free, righteous, independent Uzbekistan.
Supreme Republic of a Free, righteous, independent.
It's a lot more than just SRU.
Which is good to remember.
They said loosely. They said loosely translated.
Just
loosely.
Saying.
And SRU is a lot sexier than the SFRIU.
True.
SFR.
That's true.
It would be SFIRU.
Right.
Yeah.
IRR. I think it'd be two R's.
All right.
Because the Righteous Republic.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Righteous and independent.
There was a fake wall in that. That's why the others were hiding.
The others were hiding in the fake wall.
Fair enough.
Okay. So
loosely translated.
The negotiation happened. The conversation between Red and Lizzie, which is sort of the whole I'm here to help. We saw Red in the lobby with the guy who telling that wonderful story, whatever the back half of that story was, but the woman with the legs like shot putters. You know,
that was great. Come on.
That's good. I'll give credit on that, that's some red monologuing right there.
Even though we caught the tail end, I was in.
Covered in Vaseline.
Yeah.
Written on the ceiling.
Legs like shot putter.
Red lipstick. same time next year, and I haven't missed. That is hilarious. Yeah,
that's a great. That's a great.
Beautiful.
That's worth the price. That's worth the price of admission. Like, stay away from the Tango. Stay away from the Tango monologues. Give me more weird half anecdote. Give me the back half of some weird anecdote.
Odd Baltic women with crazy big legs. I think that's good stuff.
legs like shot putters. And last year, last week, we didn't mention the whole, it's the Petty Officer Virginia Sherman's mouth, how he said that. This is the last week he said, I hadn't had anything good in my mouth. I can't do the quote. The last thing that tasted this good was Petty Officer Virginia Sherman.
Mouth, something like
that. Yeah. And he was telling, you don't remember this line?
I remember that line, yeah.
Anyway, all right.
For a guy with a libido is out of control, is mine.
Right before he kidnapped him.
How did I miss that?
It's a great line. Anyway, so Uzbekistan is jumping off. It turns out that Red, he's made a move to have a special negotiator. Which is Red Reddington, because the FBI is really not allowed to do anything, and they want to deal with the FBI, but the FBI, has no jurisdiction, has no guns. This guy has figured out a way to sort of do this negotiation. They brought in Red, so it's a Red versus Lizzie versus wrestler, but Red is really sort of being a double agent, kind of working with
Red.
But
we also
find
wrestling.
Out in this scene what the whole thing is about, and that's Annika Oil, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And the pipeline.
Bearing the lead, yes.
This guy went from being an abductor to an ecological terrorist almost.
Right.
So, in a way.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
An anti-corporate terrorist, yeah.
Which the whole thing became about, it became a big corporate intrigue story, and they have this sort of, they have their own private security, and they've been there for weeks and weeks, and they're watching everything else, and they're trying to cover this whole thing up, and you get the idea that this is a big, multi-billion dollar company with lots at stake here, so they're trying to, cover their ass, and they've got their own security people, and it's kind of a cool thing. So you've got, you get the FBI doing their thing, you get the CIA doing their thing, you get the SRU doing their thing, but you also have this corporation who has their own private security. Again, no sides, only players. I thought that was all kind of cool, these people playing in the same boat together. Did you like any of that stuff, Joe?
Loved it. I absolutely loved it. And this to me is this is why the episode I thought was this is the value to me in the episode. This is what we're doing right now. You think that Trans-Canada doesn't have an army of guys just like Annika? Mm-hmm. You think that they aren't going to these little towns in Nebraska and pushing these people around? You think that Nebraska didn't pass a law specifically giving Trans-Canada the jurisdiction over these people's property because they wouldn't sell to them? Right. We're dealing with this stuff right here at home.
Sure.
This is the Keystone Pipeline. This is the exact game we're playing here. And where it's being sold by a bunch of people as this wonderful thing, we're going to get all this oil. We're not going to see a dime of it. It's going to be fed through the country, out the Gulf of Mexico, put on ships, and sent to China. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Not going to touch it. It's not for us. But it's the same game. This has all been played out. The difference is the accents and the suits. Yeah. And that's it.
And this is on a TV show.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then, I think this is. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, I do. I agree. I loved all that stuff. I mean, you, Julia. This is. I know that you were very much not about this.
Well, I was into the main storyline. I was into the main blacklister, and I'm into when they pull in from what the overarching story is. I just feel like this whole episode was a little bit muddy. But I like the general idea. I like where they were going with it. I just think it became extremely more convoluted than it needed to be.
They do.
That's my opinion.
I agree. They do play kind of fast and loose, Nana, with this idea of the blacklister because, Ruslan was the blacklister. He's the bad guy, but then he's kind of the good guy. Then they bring in this other cat, my man, what's his name?
Jabin.
Yeah, like he's the real bad. He's like, he's like somehow the other, like a sub blacklister as well. He's another, so it's a weird.
Well, in a way, it doesn't seem to be dangerous at all. He was in power for 20 years until the mid 90s, and then he just has the secret, information that they need to accuse the corporation of what they've done.
Right.
That first pipeline. That's I don't think he was dangerous.
That's where he gets
other
money
than that little weird little angels and demons moment where he's punishing himself.
What did you think of that? That was a weird affectation that they added onto him. I mean, it was like to make him this menacing badass, but then at the end of the day, he's just, he's just a political
dude. They call him crazy old.
No, it made sense to me because here's a guy who made all the money. He was the political party boss. He was the Communist Party boss, and when they open up, they open it up a little bit. They say, okay, this American company can come in. Let's see what capitalism tastes like. Let's see what it feels like. Let's see if it can fix some of the problems we have here.
Sure.
So they build the first pipeline in 88. They leak all the benzene all over the place. They make a huge mess. They take that one out. They put a new one in what do you say, 92, right? It was 4 years before.
Yeah,
the first one.
Uh-huh.
And then that one takes 20 years to start leaking all over the place, which isn't true because those people have been sick for a long time. So It probably started leaking well before that. And you know, this is kind of like the crux of the problem, right? So you have a party guy who could be compared to any political guy you want to compare him to in any country, who has made a deal to fuel his own pockets and to give away something that probably wasn't his to give away in the first place.
Right.
And eminent domain is how we do it in this country. We say, okay, TransCanada now has eminent domain in Nebraska, which is completely insane, but that's what they've done. And so this guy didn't have to do that. He just was able to say, here's the deal. I'll make the deal. I can give you this access to this property. And they build this pipeline. And so then years later, he looks at all the chaos and all the cancer and all the horrible things that's happened, and he feels terrible, and he's flagellating. He's
flagellating?
Yeah.
Not a flagellate. That's the wrong term.
I think with a T, right?
It's close.
It's close.
God, deliver me.
He's beating himself up.
He's
beating himself up.
Opus Dei action where you smack yourself up.
Very Sweeney Todd.
He's doing his thing.
Very Sweeney.
But that's, to me, that makes total sense. I liked it. I thought it was a good call.
You know, the one thing about that scene, too, that reminded me, and actually I didn't mention this from last week. I remember season one when we were talking a lot about, we noticed a lot of the Blacklisters and Red and Lizzie have scars.
Yeah.
So for some reason that kind of really triggered me when we saw all the scars on his back, because usually it seemed to signify a lot in season one when he saw the scars. And actually I was thinking about this after last week's episode, but technically the bunny even had a scar, it was stitched up, and look what was underneath that.
Wow.
So, scar symbolism.
So wow. I actually thought that was something that I don't know if we overlooked, but just something that could be looked into.
Nice pull, you know? Nando Velasquez.
Yeah.
Okay, scar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my original point is that, like, he's who is the Blacklister here?
You know? Yeah. that's why I think this is so confusing. And the number, of course, 67. Obviously, he wasn't that deadly that Red felt he was a threat. He kept them alive and kept them. He's going to be in power eventually.
Right.
So anyway,
but I do find it interesting if you take all these individuals out. I keep coming back to Ruslan. You know, he's the leader of the SRU. Although he's done some bad, questionable things, maybe from his perspective, his ends justify his means. I mean, is he has means justify his ends? I don't know. But whatever. He feels just because he's trying to liberate and maintain a supreme, free, and righteous Uzbekistan. What is it called? he's fighting. Like, my point is, he's his cause is just. So if you're on, from his point of view, he's not the bad guy. He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
The corporation, they're, you know, and all of our eyes are the bad guy, but they're protecting their interests and they've got their security team and they're just trying to make sure that they're doing. So they've got their agenda. The FBI has their thing. They're just doing their thing.
And the CIA.
My man, the Uzbekistan army dude is trying to do his thing, mm-hmm. you know, and then making sure that his
Commander Kashan.
Commander Kashan, and make sure that everything's good on his end. And then the CIA is just trying to retrieve their guy because they're watching other guys. So it goes back to that, you know, I'm hammering it a lot, but it goes back to that no sides, all players. You can jump on any one of those sides and feel like you're in the right place doing the right thing. So it's kind of cool to zoom out and look at it as a sort of a macro look and sort of see all these people sort of colliding. And I think that's, you know, with
and that's good writing. That's just good writing.
Yeah, it's good. I thought it was good conceptually. I'm not sure the execution was quite there, but I think conceptually it was good. And it also just centers around, like, again, this is what all this is what Red represents. This is the world we're really, really getting into, why a guy like Red Reddington exists and what he and the kind of things he does. Like, him being at the center of all of this and having touching all of these plans, how the CIA wants him, but he's working with the FBI. He's got his pockets lined over here. He's in bed with this other guy, Ruslan. Like, that's the world that Red.
That's the wheeling and dealing.
That's the world he lives in. And frankly, like, that face value, that's a show I'd watch. That's a show I'd watch. There's this guy who lives in all these worlds, and he goes through it, and there's that. Like, I want that show.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like I want more of that and less of, like, you know, Lizzie and, you know, bunnies and stuff. I don't know.
Well, look, this is a different side of Red that we got to see in comparison to last week when he was upset because Lizzie was taking custody. You know, that scene, like, when he was trying to wheel and deal with Braxton's people, you know, right. and he was beating the hell out of that one guy who was trying to get money out of him. Right. You know, we love seeing Red when he's pissed off, but we also like seeing Red, you know, moments like when he's coming in, like he never met Lizzie and Ressler before. It's like, hey, yes. I'll be your negotiator, and you are.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
great.
Moments like that, or the story with the Vaseline, or whatever. These are the moments that we really, that's why I said, like, you know, sometimes it's better when Red and Lizzie aren't on the same page, and Red has to try and earn himself back in, because the way he manipulates everybody and gets in, it's hilarious.
It's nice to see how he earns his lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and what he's willing to do to earn that lifestyle.
Specifically, like, he, like, who knows how much money he made on that billion-dollar transaction.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
If it's billions of dollars, if it's a billion-dollar transaction, whatever piece he's got is a lot more than we got.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So it gets...
So that justifies who Red is in this world to me a little
bit. It keeps
bit.
Him in
so
custom
I enjoy
suits.
That part.
It keeps a private jet fueled.
Mm. Yes. Oh, yeah. Do you even drive? No, right. Dembe's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Dembe's always there.
So that's so I did like all that. I didn't. What I don't. We have to sort of get into this Lizzie, you know, the whole Lizzie thing, because I did, like I said, I did like all of that, all this intrigue stuff, and Red at the center of that. But when we have this other sort of thing developing here with, you know, the question, this overarching question of Lizzie and Red's relationship, the fulcrum, and now we have this other thing with this missing persons thing brewing, which is probably how we're going to get back to Tom. I think we're all kind of wondering, like, well, Tom's lurking out there.
Yeah.
How are we going to get back to Tom? And I think this is a really cool sort of, you know, mildly serialized thing that they brought back. And I like when shows have these sort of things that you don't think about that could be loose endy, and the writers room, they're like, whatever happened to that guy? Let's write this in. So they kind of brought him back, and now we've got this kind of pesky detective, mm-hmm. and our boy who's, you know, who's so loyal to Lizzie, is rolled over on him like that pretty quickly.
Samuel Aleko.
What was in his ear?
Bone.
It
was like a bone. Couple bones.
Weird.
The ladies badass. Dig a good
is
bone
a,
through the
is
ear,
that
man.
Yeah. Is that what you think is badass?
I wouldn't do it myself, but yeah, I guess for him.
You're dealing with the seedy underbelly.
Yeah, that's what I do.
It looked like a big inflamed gland sticking out of his ear.
I don't know.
So what do you guys make of this whole storyline, the missing person storyline, Jules? What do you
okay,
like
well,
this?
This is the storyline that I'm interested in, and you know, I'm always... I just want answers. I always just want answers from the show, and I never get them, so I'm always grasping at them.
Right.
I, like you said, I'm glad that they went back to these characters that we've sort of been wondering about what happened to them. They have information. I always wondered how they were going to get away with killing that harbor master.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's going to come back to haunt them at some point. It has to.
Although at this point...
That's how they did.
Although at this point, because it was so long ago, I mean, it was only, what, three episodes ago, but because of the break, it feels like it was
maybe
forever.
That's it.
It's like his wife waited how long to call the cops, you know?
That's a great point.
That's true. Anyway, I mean, that's the part of this episode that excited me the most.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's just me desperately, desperately wanting just some answers, please.
You want some Tom back,
I
too.
Tom, this is clearly a bridge
bringing through. Called me out. Your libido called me out.
Called him out. Mm. That was rough.
This is
a libido like yours, Flip.
Your overactive libido, Flip. This is clearly our bridge back to Tom. This is also our bridge back to Lizzie and Red, because Lizzie's going to be in trouble, and Red's going to have to be able to get, you know,
she's going to have to enlist his help. I mean,
so that's just a mild.
But
prediction.
It also gets it's kind of predictiony, but not really.
Yeah.
It also gets Ressler involved, because Ressler
kind of knows
what was going down to some degree.
He's like, don't whoa! I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, so it gets him involved and gets him more invested in this overarching story as well.
Also sets up that potential Tom Ressler Lizzie love triangle that we all can't wait for.
Yes.
I'm kidding. Kick him. I think he went down.
I mean, I dozed off for a second there. Sorry.
Because the chemistry between Ressler and Lizzie, you just cut it with a...
Listen, We're talking a lot of junk about the show, but we do love the show because
I liked it.
Well, but the show in general, because for all the stuff that we talk and the suspension of disbelief and the elevators and the Uzbekistan and the FBI, it's at the center of the thing is still Red Reddington, the character of Red, which never disappoints. He always, every episode, makes us smile. He always makes us gasp. He always makes us, like, you know, laugh. He always makes us, like, you know, something happens, you know, with him. And the heights that he goes through from that great story about the woman like with legs like shot putters to him getting like really gangster on the Russian on the guy.
No, on Burke. Yeah, on the
Burke,
agent.
I'm sorry, on Burke. Dan telling him, you know, my bed is made. I assure you, my bed accommodates a wide spectrum of behavior. I'll put you in the ground myself. Like I believe him. You know, so right. The show is at its best when that was going on. I will say, I also really enjoyed. I want to give props to my man, Cooper. I thought he was good in this episode. I mean, he's still on the same note. It's still one note. He's still angry, walking around and barking stuff. But like him coming in and being genuinely pissed about that son of a bitch, like you know about the CIA guy, then going in there and giving a piece of his mind and inadvertently saving everyone's life. That was cool. I mean, that's kind of cool. We've been asking for Cooper to do something, and they set it up so he can only do something in the sort of the high political levels. And that I like that. I like to see Cooper do that stuff. And we also love, again, we obviously love Aram, and we love the you know all those other folks as well. So I just wanted to say in general for all the like you know eye rolling we're doing and you know about, I think the show we still love the show.
Yes, right? Comes from love.
Right. Good. but it's unbelievably stupid. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding.
I did love that Aram had figured out the technology of, I guess, the fulcrum, whatever came out of the bunny, was like late 80s, early 90s, and yet he still couldn't figure it out.
So way back from the early
90s. 20th century.
I think it appears to be some sort of a tape, maybe a beta tape, a beta max.
I think it's a CD player. It's a CD player.
It's a Rubik's Cube. I can't solve it.
Way back from 91. It looks like
if only there were a device that would play this.
I don't know. It's a weird disc of some sort.
But ROM can't get in there. It's deep, man.
Yeah, I mean. And it's really like, you know, way back in the 80s and 90s, and it's something that's completely escapes Aram's
expertise. I don't know what this is.
Expertise.
It's a troll doll. I don't know what this is.
What is this
trying to think of any.
Look at that hair, it just sticks straight up.
Hammer pants.
Hammer pants?
Do people wear those?
Why couldn't he touch it? I don't understand.
New Kids in the Block. Who? What? I don't understand any of this stuff. I'm from
Alf.
Yeah. Anyway, that was funny. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So to wrap it up. So that all happened. We you know somehow miraculously the whole thing was sort of you know wrapped up. I do want to talk about the end. We do talk about the end speech with Red and Ruslan and my man in the crate. And that was kind of cool. Him delivering, you know, what's the
Commander Kassan, I believe.
Commander Kassan in the
crate.
Kushan. Yes.
Which seems to be a theme of this season. There's a lot of like Red's doing a lot of like balancing of the scales here. I want to mention this quickly. It's like a sort of a reoccurring theme. There's a lot of Red going in, like you know, listening to the help of the FBI, doing the job of whatever the FBI needs. Serving his own personal needs, and then whoever he's dealing with, there's always some level of like, hey, I brought you a present. Here's so-and-so. Like, have fun. Or, you know, here's so-and-so in a box. Take care of him. Or here's so-and-so hanging by the thing.
Like he did with Samar.
Yeah, like it's a lot of like,
Ruzan.
He's operating on his Red underworld scale of like, okay, I'll do the FBI thing. The books are cleared. The case is cleared. But there's the Red Justice, which is like, all right, my underworld cred is good because I've delivered you so-and-so. Go do your thing with him. And also, by the way, I'm going to get paid over here. You know,
I think we love Red because of his code. Like, Red does not need to worry about the law. It doesn't matter to him. He doesn't need to worry about what you think. That doesn't matter to him either. And I think Red is like almost like the I don't know what to say, it's the embodiment of like the perfect American businessman.
Yep.
And I think we respond very well to him because, like you said, he takes care of himself and he takes care of his personal belief of what things ought to be.
Right.
And I think we respond very well to that because most of us, we feel that way.
Right.
We feel like the laws are really nice and that's probably good for other folks. But I believe my personal idea of what's right and wrong is much more important. And that's, I think that resonates with us. I think that resonates with all of us.
I agree.
And he's charismatic on top of it with great anecdotal stories.
There we go.
He's very
and Vaseline.
All right. So that's it. I mean, Ruslan, Denizov.
I thought it was a fun character. I kind of liked it as a character.
You know, the episode came and went. Let's jump into some. Do you got Jules? Anything else?
No, nothing. No,
all
that's
right.
it.
Let's jump into some news and gossip and some of the stuff here. AfterBuzz TV News.
So we want to talk about tickety-tickety's first, or just the news? I got some news and gossip.
Yeah, well, drop some news on me, Nando.
Okay, you know what? The most important news, this is the second week that The Blacklist has returned to NBC and is on Thursday nights, opposite Scandal. And a lot of critics have been saying that, you know, like, well, it's going to be a big matchup. Well, I'll tell you this. It's very interesting, I think, because on Twitter, if you were to look at the top shows that are being tweeted at on Thursday nights, the top three are all Shonda Rhimes shows. So it's all Grey's Anatomy, I think Scandal's number one, and it's like Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder. So top three. Blacklist was not in the top five at all. However, Blacklist beat Scandal in the ratings. So, you know, I know that publicists are now looking at social media, and they really are paying attention to the Twitter count too, because obviously, you know, social media is where it's at. You get more hits from that. You know, people get more buzz and interest, so they definitely want people promoting this show. But you know, Blacklist is winning, so we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it for the rest of the season and see how that's doing. Also, you know, in an upcoming episode, I don't know which one, I don't have it here, the EW was saying there's a little Pretty in Pink reunion. But not exactly what you think. So,
Ducky?
Spader? No, not Ducky. It would be cool if it was Ducky or Molly Ringwald. It's actually Andrew McCartney.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking.
Yeah, that's who you were thinking. There's a photo of him in EW, and I should have put it on here. He's a director now. So there's a photo of him behind the scenes directing this episode.
That's cool.
But yeah, I don't think he's aged that well, honestly. From that photo, sorry. But, he doesn't look like his Pretty in Pink stuff.
He's not Weekend at Bernie's.
I mean, that was Weekend at Bernie's.
Mannequins
8 years ago.
Maybe that's what Aram was looking at, a photo of Andrew McCarthy.
I can't figure
this out. Late technology.
Yes. Or it's the transcript of Mannequin 2.
Aram would not be able to figure out
anything. There you go. And then, really quick, we just want to do some shout outs.
Why did they make another one?
Speaking of social media and speaking of promoting people, we'd love if you guys promote us. We'd love if you guys rate us 5 stars.
Yes. We love fives.
You know, we're going to talk about all the people who commented on this week. Thank you very much to Christy Moore, Performing Sis, Vintage Vandalism, Umar Soares, Stephanie Elliott, Jerry Sander, Melina Torres, Amanda Henderson, Jose Ramirez, Moose Dresden, or Mouse Dresden, Life is Short 214, Cynthia Vega, if I'm saying that one right, Hail Crimson King, Sideline Soprano, Dear Alley, Zazu, 1234567891, Joey Eram, Betty Boop, 91100, the one I can never say, Mark, I think, but it's from Denmark, I think. I can't remember what country. I'm sorry. And Reality O'Views. I can't remember that. And then also Hestia, who always tweets at us. Thank you very much. Rats T, Bam Penny, Beta Artemis, Tickle Tea Lady, Marima Tropoha, Beads by Lara. Beads by Lara. There you go. Ty Love 3, Tiffany F, Mikey Oliver. I hope I'm saying that one right. Lucia Dalbon, Da Popoloin Paradise.
Puerto Rican came out of you.
And then on iTunes, Music for the Soul. And then, well, we got one bad comment from the Bobster 911.
Amen.
Who said, we hardly talk about the show. We giggle a lot. Maybe we giggle a lot. And a bunch of liberal PC comments.
Flippo.
Just want to say that. But you know what?
Keep that in check now.
Seriously, guys, rate us on iTunes because what?
My liberal PC comments
we know
are
you
my
guys,
beliefs only.
Yeah, we know you guys
don't
love
represent
us.
The beliefs of anyone
and
here.
The more ratings we have, if occasionally if someone comes out and doesn't like us, and I, you know, sorry, Bobster, I'm guessing you're not listening to us anymore. We're too PC for you or something. But if you guys like us, please rate us and give us some stuff.
That's amazing.
Liberal PC.
Hestia, thank you very much, too, for dropping. Hestia always drops like about 4 or 5 graphs. You know, on the YouTube comment thread, which is cool. Like, it really goes through in really detail about it. So we do read it every time. So thank you very much for that. All right, let's jump into some predictions.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Jolia.
That's me. Yeah.
Yes.
That's me. Okay. Just making sure.
Yes.
It was shocking that I'm called first.
Well, it's weird. It never happens that way.
I really thought you were up.
It's like Brangelina. Jolia.
Jolia.
It's, you know, it's like,
You guys should be a couple.
Yes.
Oh, gotta keep up with that libido.
No, nobody can.
Couple of what?
Out of control.
Out of control.
Okay.
Not to mention, Shetty has the handle, so.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, stab. There's that. Go. Okay,
like my stab, can't even see it. click. Okay, well, some things we already talked about. I think Tom's a coming. Uh-huh. I think Lizzie's going to have to enlist Red to find Tom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because
these all sound like my takes.
I didn't write them down, yo.
Go ahead.
It's okay. Maybe we'll just pretend I never said them when they ring true. She's gonna have to love Red again. Oh, they're gonna be on the up and up again next episode. He's gonna have to find Tom to find some answers or to cover up the finding of the body of what was his name, Eugene.
Yeah. Yes.
I also think Aram is going to find a way, or someone's going to find a way to play whatever was on that recorder from the Bunny Fulcrum.
Yeah.
And
there's
think
this thing called a VCR. What's a vicar? What's a vicar?
What does Fufuwe mean?
The red and the blue cable.
And I think we'll hear some voices on it. And I think one of them just might be Lizzie's father. But I think Naomi might be recorded on that.
All right.
And that's all.
Yeah, prediction machine. Flippo. Those are all good. I like
that. All I got. I don't have much here. Because, you know, they're never going to give me any satisfaction. They're never going to let me know whether or not.
Red's the father. We get it.
I know. So I would say that Lizzie, Tom obviously is going to have to come back. I agree with you 100%. Red is going to have to bail Lizzie out of this because this is going to be a ginormous mess because the entire of Metro PD appeared to go to the crime scene. And Home Skillet with the thing through his ear is very, 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 is very comfortable telling them all about Lizzie.
You ain't going
to
believe what I know. I'm like, I thought you and Lizzie
seen the thing in my ear. Let's talk about Lizzie.
I have a credible witness.
So hardcore, Home
it's
Skillet.
Home Skillet. So I think he's going to.
Talk about the 90s.
You know? Bring it back.
Jesus.
You can't touch this.
What's next? What's up? What's next? Flippo's on the cutting edge of all slang.
Hey, slow down.
Home Skillet.
I know. I know what I know.
Go ahead.
I think this episode was rad. Yes. That's all I'm saying about that.
All right.
Obviously, this whole thing with Eugene is gonna blow up a little bit. But I don't think it's gonna get. I do not suspect it's gonna be realistically dealt with.
Sure.
I think it's gonna go away quicker than it
ought
to. Yeah,
I think it'll be a one episode.
Yeah. Thing. Like, hey, we're all done with this.
Yeah.
All what? Right.
Yeah, I can see that.
It'll be satisfied quickly.
I echo everybody about Tom. I think actually because Tom's supposed to keep away per Red's orders, that Lizzie's going to be the one finding Tom in order to clear her name because that's what she's going to need. So I think that's how Tom's going to come back. Lizzie's going to find him.
Think she's going to go deep cover in a hotel room again?
Probably something like that.
Maybe she'll ask Wrestler help.
And I think, maybe she'll ask Wrestler for help on that too. And yeah, that's the big one. Because we're short on time, so
okay.
I'll limit it to that.
We're short on time.
I will. Yeah,
that too.
So, what is every prediction I just made? Just remember that next week.
My prediction last week was that they would figure out a way within the first 5 minutes to give some quick exposition as to why Red is just back on the case, and they kind of did that. Like, hey, Uzbekistan has no extradition treaty. I can do whatever I want. So let's all move it to all Uzbekistan,
right?
Which all makes sense because that's another way to keep Red safe. Is the FBI has to operate outside of the United States. You know, so that makes sense. So maybe we'll get moves where Red is operating in places with no extradition treaties, and the FBI has to find ways to go follow Red around the world.
He's in the Uzbekistan Hilton, the Chechen Marriott. He's at the
with all their elevators,
right?
But yeah, but I do predict. I don't know what's going on. The previews for next week did not look fresh to me at all. I don't know what's going on.
I'm sorry.
Did
you say fresh?
Yeah, fresh.
I'm sorry, Home Skillet. Was that fresh?
Aram would not understand that term because it's late 80s, early 90s.
That's straight from the 80s, homie.
Raise the roof.
Raise the roof.
Yes.
Like fresh, like they're organic?
Raise the roof. The bomb. You the man.
Okay.
No. All right, but anyway, predictions. You got it. Like Tom's on his way back, and those my predictions are your predictions. Mm-hmm. So that's that. Yeah.
No, they're all Nando's. Don't worry.
All right, let's get out of here. Joe Flippo, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitter at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo, and my website is josephsanflippo.com.
Julia.
My name Julia Carely, JuliaCarely on Twitter and on Instagram.
Nando.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, NANDOVEL, and here at AfterBuzz for other shows such as The Walking Dead and Scorpion.
Yes, I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell and on our sister network, BHL, with Show Geekner and Tech. I think that's it. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week to talk more Blacklist. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.